that he'll never,
I know
he'll never,
yes,
he'll never let me down. He's just a jewel.
He's just a
jewel. You know that I have found. I'ma sing hallelujah.
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 Whenever
I love to praise his name, I'ma sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, my Lord.
Whenever
I love to praise. Oh, and I'm singing hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah. Well, I love to praise his name. Let me tell you why
I love
to praise his holy name. Because he's my rock,
he's my rock.
Well,
my rock, my sword and shield.
And he's the will,
he's the will.
Well,
in the middle.
You know that I have found. I'm singing hallelujah.
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 Yeah.
Well, I love to praise his name. I'm singing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, my Lord.
I love to praise his name.
Oh, and I'm singing hallelujah.
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 Well, I love to praise his name. Well, I love to in the morning.
I love
to in the evening.
I love
to
all day,
praise his holy name.
Amen. 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 Good morning, everyone. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. If you're visiting, you are honored guests, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here in the body of Christ that meets at Fifth Ward. This is our fifth Sunday. We worship together as one. We normally have two worship services, and we're thankful that you got the message. We know that it seems like every fifth Sunday we have a few that drag in a little late. They didn't get the message, and hopefully you got the message this morning. God is good. You look good. You sound good. Amen. We could just keep on singing some more. Amen. Brother Gerby is coming down, our Spanish minister. I want him to lead us in a word of prayer. But as he comes, let's sing, God Has Smiled on Me. God has smiled
on me.
I believe that
he has set me free.
Who will my God? Oh, yes, he smiled on
me.
You say he's been God been good to you? Sing it like you mean it. Amazing grace. It was
amazing grace.
Yes, how sweet
the sound
that saved a
wretch like me.
Real I was
but lost.
Oh yes, but now I'm found.
Here
was blind,
but now
I see. It's all because my God, oh yes, he
smiled on me.
I believe that
he has
Vamos a orar.
Let us pray.
Santo Padre,
Holy God,
Dios Todopoderoso,
All Powerful God.
Gracias, Señor, por
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Por estar juntos.
Thank you, Father, for us being together.
Gracias por la vida y la salud de cada uno de nosotros.
Thank you for the health and life of everyone.
Gracias por tu iglesia aquí juntos.
Thank you for the church being together.
Señor, te adoramos en espíritu y en verdad.
Father, we love you in spirit and in truth.
Porque tú quieres que te adoremos de esa manera.
Because you choose that we love you this way, that we worship you this way.
Queremos hacer tu voluntad todos.
We want all of us to do your will.
Te pedimos que ayudes los necesitados que tenemos en tu iglesia.
Help us, Father, with the necessities that we have in your body of Christ, in the church.
Hay algunas personas dentro de tu iglesia que están sufriendo.
We have members of the church who are suffering.
Han perdido seres queridos.
They've lost loved ones.
Hay problemas en la familia a veces.
We have trouble in our families from time to time.
Hay enfermedades.
We have illness.
Señor, ayúdanos en como tú crees, Señor.
Help us, Father, in the way that you see that we need.
Yes.
Tú eres el único que puede ayudarnos a todos.
You're the only one that can help us with all of our needs.
Yes.
Nosotros dependemos de ti.
We depend upon you.
En esta mañana, Señor, te pedimos por los visitantes.
This morning, Father, we pray for our guests.
Que están entre nosotros.
The ones who are among us.
Te pedimos por el hermano Gary.
We ask a blessing for Brother Gary.
Que tu palabra, Señor, haga eco en nuestros corazones.
That he will share the word of God in our hearts.
Ayúdanos, Señor, para ser mejores.
Help us, Father, to be better.
Para ser, Señor, cristianos todos.
To be Christians completely.
Todo el tiempo.
All the time.
Cristianos.
All the time be Christians.
Señor, si hemos cometido pecado, perdónanos.
Father, we continue to ask you to forgive us.
Y ayúdanos a no pecar en contra de ti.
Help us that we might not sin against you.
Amen.
Oramos, Señor, estas cosas en el nombre glorioso de nuestro Señor Jesucristo.
We ask these things in the glorious name of your Son, Jesus.
Amén.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Gerby. I did say good morning, didn't I? I didn't? Oh, well, good morning. Oh, I did. Okay. All right. We've selected as a theme here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ this year, of course, the Bible is always our guide. The Word of God is our guide and our standard. We try to have a focus, and we've selected as a theme the word consecrated, which simply means to set apart for a divine purpose. And we as children of God are consecrated by God. But we control our actions. We control our calendars, our time, and what we do with our time. And you know, in this world that we live in today, there are so many things that we could be doing. Thank you, members of the body of Christ, who set aside this time to worship God. And we put forth quite a few goals this year. One is to try to baptize at least 100 souls. I believe up to date we baptized about 21 souls have been added to the body of Christ who've been baptized. We have had others who have placed membership, and we just need to say thank you, Lord. We also asked each of our members to get involved, if you're not already involved, in at least one ministry. And many of you have done that. Many of you have done that. And some of you are still kind of trying to feel your way and figure out what you can be involved in. But there's something here that we all can be involved in as members of the body of Christ. We've asked you also to consecrate. Look at the church calendar. And set aside, dedicate the time of some of the activities. We've asked even those that normally don't attend Sunday evening to at least one Sunday evening out of the month to attend Sunday evening worship service. And many of you have been doing that. And we say, thank you, Lord. We're looking for many of you tonight. Amen, somebody. And so, but we know it's a sacrifice. We know that our members really literally travel a long ways, many of them a long ways. And we know that it is a sacrifice. But I got a question for you. Is God worth the sacrifice? Are souls worth it? Some people just need to see us for encouragement. Some people work and they are not able to come to worship service in the morning. And we all need to be growing in the Lord, don't we? Because you know the devil is so busy. We have also asked our members to give generously to the ministries, to the works that we've set forth for the congregation. And by and large, many of you have been participating in that. And from your elders and from all of us, we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you. But more than that, I believe God is pleased. And when God is pleased, he's just going to keep on blessing us over and over again. So thank you. God bless you. I know the sisters were here on yesterday at a ladies' tea, and they were just cutting up over here. Say it was 160-plus sisters. And we say a ladies' tea, but you know it's not just about drinking tea. Because they talked about consecrating their lives and consecrating their activities and themselves to dedicate themselves to God. Sisters, we love you so much. Don't go nowhere, because Brother Gary be following you if you leave. Amen. God is good. We want to complete a series we started the beginning of this month entitled, Do You Know Your History? Do You Know Your History? And today we've entitled the lesson, Do You Know Your Church History? Amen. Do you know your church history? And visitors, our elders will acknowledge you at the end of our worship service. If I didn't say that, thank you for coming. We have not forgotten about who you are. Do you know your church? History is very important. It really is. We don't live in the past, but we learn from the past. We should learn from the past. Paul told the church that we the things are written for a time are written for our learning. It's written for our learning so we don't make the same mistakes people in history made. And all of us, whether you like to read history or not, you should learn from your history. And a lot of decisions we make from our future, for our future. If you get married, you better do a history check on your mate. Amen, somebody. I'm not talking about I spy, but you need to know what family he comes from, she comes from. If you're going to the doctor won't even see you without a medical history, because there are so many risks when they don't have you. We do know history is important. And so we're looking at, and some of you that's been members of the church, we know that this will be sort of repetitious for us, but some of us act like we forgot our history. But for those of us that don't, we want to go over some basic facts that the Bible spells out about church history. And we want you to stay with us as we go through this, all right? You promise me you won't go to sleep. I hope you don't go to sleep this morning. Those of you that's watching by television, thank you. Our members, we have so many that's at home, and they'll write and even say, please, I wish I could be there. Everybody say good morning. Morning. We love you. We wish you were here. We know that you'll be back at your earliest convenience. God bless you. The book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I'm going to go through this kind of quickly, because Jesus, he says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And so the church was not in physical spiritual existence till after Jesus died. Jesus died. We know that it did not come before Jesus' lifetime. It was prophesied about. Even here, Jesus says, I will build my church. And this is what he said about his church. He said, the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, will not overpower, will not prevail against it. If everybody in here stop going to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, guess what? It's not going to stop the Lord's kingdom. And there are many things that are going on in the world. There are many other churches popping up, denominations popping up, but they will not prevail. If they're not teaching the will of God, they will not prevail against the Lord's church. And here we have this prophecy. He tells Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Jesus, before he leaves the earth, after his resurrection, he's died on the cross and he's gathered his apostles there. He tells them, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. Everybody say Jerusalem. That's the place. That's the location where the church is instituted. Very important for us to remember that. But he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said,
you heard of from me. So this prophecy, Jesus talks to his apostles. He tells them, don't leave Jerusalem because something's going to happen in Jerusalem. And he tells them they're going to be endued with power, endued with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And some of you didn't know, young people, you listen to this history also. You need to know the history of the, if you are a member of this church, of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, you need to know why you were a member here. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, it means 50th. It is significant because in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, if you wanted the history of Pentecost, Leviticus chapter 23, that's for your own reading. It talks about Pentecost. It means 50. It is seven Sabbaths plus one day. 50. Seven Sabbaths, 7 days in a week. The Sabbath day was the seventh day. It would be equivalent to our Saturday. Seven Sabbaths passed by. Seven times seven is what, church? 49, thank you. Plus one is what? Pentecost, Penti. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says, they were all gathered together. I don't have time to go over all the history, but all the Jews from all nations were called there. They were to celebrate this festival day under the old covenant. They were there to celebrate the Passover. And on the day of Pentecost is the day that the church was established. Amen. When you read Acts chapter 2, listen to verse 22. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to these words as you are listening this morning. Thank the Lord. See, we all got to listen to somebody. Amen. Amen. You might not listen to me, but if you're gonna obey God, you have to listen to his word. He says, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. And he commenced to preaching the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ to that crowd. In that crowd were some individuals who were there when Jesus was crucified just 50 days prior. Many of them were right there in that audience. Listen to the apostle Peter and the rest of the apostles preaching to them. He said, that same Jesus whom you crucified, he is now Lord. He is Lord of all. And I wonder how they felt when they heard that news. Now, they hadn't heard this good news yet before. And they listening to this and they, wait a minute, you mean the one that was, you know, they ought to have had some second thoughts because if they were on that day, on the day that Jesus died, when Jesus died, all the lights went on. And there was darkness over the whole, and I bet some of those folks say, what is going on? The Bible says the curtain of the temple was rent in two. It said dead folks were getting out of their grave. They knew something had happened that day. They just didn't know what. And now Peter and the rest of the apostles are telling him the full story. And he told them that same Jesus. And that's the message. That's the saving message. Gary don't have any philosophy, any jokes for you this morning. The same message that they preach will get you into the Lord's church. It will get you to heaven if you obey it. Nothing complicated about it. You don't have to know psychology. You don't have to know some of the philosophies and books that other men are giving. You just need to know about Jesus Christ and him crucified, and you need to obey the gospel. And on that day in verse 41, Acts 2:41, so then those who had received his word were baptized. And, preachers, we have little egos, and you think you preach your best sermon, and nobody responds to it. Yeah, you say, I know good and well, I put that one together, and nobody responds. But it's not about us. Amen. It's not about, and some of us, even right now, some of us that's been baptized into the Lord's church right now, you are just as hard-headed. You heard, you know, it's God is good because he's patient with us, isn't he? And you can spell everything out just right and say it right and use all of the scripture. But if a person's heart is not ready to come to God, they're not coming. Some of us are so wrapped up in our sins, we can't see straight. And some of us, we just got our egos involved, all other kind of variables involved. And Peter, this is the apostles. They were full of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, he said this, he says, those who had received the word were baptized. And King James translates, those who gladly received the word. Just everybody not going to be glad to receive the word. It's just a fact. But those who were, just like right now, I don't know who you are this morning, but God is still calling. Yeah, he wants you to be saved. He wants the whole world to be saved. This is the most important message. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, this is the most important message that you will ever hear. Is that God loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross for you. And he wants you to be saved, not tomorrow, but today. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were baptized. I need to teach this. I want to preach it. But listen, that day there were added about 3,000 souls. And most scholars would agree there had to be close to 100,000 people in Jerusalem on that day. And some would say even more. And you say, 3,000 people is a lot of people. It's not compared to 100,000. It's not a lot. I imagine some folk were writing on the ground. Some folk were talking to each other. Some folk were mumbling while he was preaching. Some folk were saying, that's a lie. He just talking. He don't know what he's talking about. But 3,000 obeyed the gospel. And you know, this is one time you need to be selfish. I don't care. If your husband don't want to get baptized, don't wait on him. If your child don't want to get baptized, you need to be selfish when it comes to your soul. Oh, have mercy. The church is officially established. We're talking about Bible now. I'm not talking about no other books right now. We're talking about what the Bible teaches. We're talking about church history in the Bible. This is the day the church was officially established, prophesied about. Acts 2, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people in the Lord was adding to their number to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. This is the first time you hear this statement. God adds us to his church. When we obey the gospel, when you come down front, you fill out a little card, we just get your name and your information, but it's not a credit check. Somebody ought to be shouting praise the Lord. It's not a background check. It's not a background. You, if you've been to jail, you can still be saved. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And so on this day, the church is established. God adds to the number. He adds to the number. And from that time on in the book of Acts, we read that the church is in existence. We can pretty close calculate almost the year that the church is in existence. We can get it pretty close from the Bible. Look at Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Luke 3:1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, some of you that know your history, I think you can look on Wikipedia, Britannica, other historical documents. Josephus writes about Tiberius Caesar. He would be the second Caesar. Caesar Augusta was the first Caesar. Some of you that go to school, you read those. Some of us, we read more books than we do the Bible. Amen. We know about world history, but you need to know Bible history. But Tiberius, I just mentioned that because he reigned from about AD 14 to AD 37, Tiberius reigned. Now, this is in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar. Let me continue to reason. When Pontius Pilate, he's also a historical living person who lived in the past, was governor of Judea. Herod the Tetrarch of Galilee. I mentioned this for the skeptics. I know some of you have been in the church. Well, Gary, we know that some of these young folk don't know this. And they challenge the Bible at every chance they get. You can't erase Pontius. You can't erase Herod. They lived on this earth. And they're in the Bible from the Tetrarch of Galilee. And from his brother Philip was the Tetrarch of the region of Iturea. And Trachonitis and Lysanias was Tetrarch of Abilene. And in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. Notice this. The word of God came to John. You know John. That would be John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner for Jesus Christ. Also, John, the son of Zechariah, that's him, in the wilderness. John was preaching his message. I don't have time to read it all. His message was, repent, for the kingdom is at hand, or the kingdom is near, or the church is coming. That was his message. He preached it before Jesus. Jesus preached almost the same. Yeah? Repent, for the kingdom is near. He said the kingdom, the church is coming. That's what Jesus preached. We know from Luke chapter 1, verse 36, that John the Baptist was born about six months before Jesus. And so in the 15th, I'm getting a little technical here, but in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, the 15th year, if he was born A.D. 14, it would be 15 plus 14 would be about A.D. 30, 29, 30, around that time. At 15 years, stay with me right now. We're trying to get to around the date that the church was established, okay, from the Word of God. And we know, now we're in Luke chapter 3. We're still in Luke chapter 3. Let's see when Jesus came on the scene. Luke chapter 3, verse 23, Luke 3, 23, when he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age. So in about the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, John the Baptist preaching right before Jesus, 6 months, around the same age as Jesus was. John the Baptist is preaching in the 15th year, around A.D. 29, A.D. 30. Jesus comes on the scene. He's 30 years old. We know, I don't have time to go through it all. We know that Jesus lived at least three Passovers. The Passover is an annual feast. So Jesus' ministry lasted about 3 years, maybe a little over 3 years. So 30 plus 3 is what? You staying with me? So now the time is about A.D. 33, maybe A.D. 34. So we know 50 days after Jesus died is Pentecost. So the church had to be established around A.D. 33 or 34. We're talking about plain Bible history. Because we want you to ask, maybe you're visiting in here. And you don't know your church history. You don't know, where it started. Now, and so we see the church in the Bible, it started around A.D. 33. And I know some of you may have some questions. Well, Brigitte, this church, Fieldwater Church of Christ, y'all didn't start. I know some of you thinking that in A.D. 33. You're right, we didn't, did we? Because let me give you a little history about Fieldwater Church of Christ. Matter of fact, you can see this if you go on our website. On our website, we actually have the history of this church on our website, church history. I think it's on the about tab on our website. But in the latter part of late 1920s, the Heights Church of Christ, which was in the Heights, predominantly white congregation, two of the members, some of them migrated there, were members there. Two of the members had in their minds that, listen, There's no Church of Christ in the black areas of Houston. And they had it in their heart to help a work start in some of the black neighborhoods. And they started in Third Ward and had tent meetings. They actually paid for Brother Marshall Keeble to have tent meetings in this area. Gospel meetings. And from the baptism of those tent meetings in early 1940s, this church was established. It was actually called the First Church of Christ at first, the First Church of Christ. I know it's because of the area, but then later, the Fifth Ward Church of Christ because of the area. Notice the emphasis is not on the Fifth Ward. The emphasis is on the Church of Christ, or the church that belongs to Christ. And I mentioned that historical part. So that's the history of this church. And of course, ministers, elders were established, and a building was remodeled. And that's the emphasis, the history of this physical bit. But the focus is not on the building. It's not on the month that this church. The focus is on what foundation, on what doctrine. Was this church? We can go start a work in any city that is in need of a church, but what are we going to base it on? What's the doctrine? What's the foundation? What is the teaching? What's the name of the church? And so we're getting into the history. I don't have time to go into all of it, but let's go back a little bit, see if we can learn a little bit more about the church history. Now, entry into the Bible church precludes the preaching of the gospel. In other words, you know, you don't join the church. Amen, somebody. We're not a club. So churchmen, we need to grow up and educate ourselves. You don't, when you're communicating with people, don't tell people I joined the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Or I joined the church, because you didn't join anything. What you did was obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God added you to the Lord's church. That's what happened. Because see, when you join something, you have to fill out an application. Folk have to vote on you or not vote on you. I thank the Lord that I didn't have to join the church. You know what happened when we had to join. Somebody get left out when you start joining things. But entry into the church, listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. I told you, these are the facts. These are the basics. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel. That's the preclude. That if the gospel is not preached, if the gospel is not taught, you haven't been added to the church. Which I preach to you, which also you receive, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. See, the church in the Bible, there's no such thing as once you saved, you always saved. There's no thing as, oh, I got baptized, I'm saved now, I just do my own thing. No, you're not in the church in the Bible. Because the Bible says, see, you have salvation if you hold on to that which you believed, unless you believed in vain. That's why some of our seniors here, don't you start cursing folk out in your 80s. Amen, somebody. Don't give up yourself. Don't say I got seniority in the Lord's church now but that I'm old. We need to serve God till we die. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Nobody had no special seats around here. Amen. In here. We might think we do, but we don't. Amen. Acts 14, 21, after they had preached the gospel. The word gospel. Good news. Good news of Jesus Christ. The facts of the gospel that I'm about to continue to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For I delivered to you, first of all, of importance, also I received that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. You can't leave, church, we can't leave that out. When we're having Bible class, don't skip over the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, because that's the pure gospel. Amen. And collectively, now we have the church starting in Jerusalem, and then we have Bible names that the Bible identifies the church. It gives us Bible names. Collectively, the church was called the church many times. Acts 2, 47, Revelations 1, 11. There are many more places. I didn't put all the scriptures up there. Jesus calls them in Matthew 16, 18, my church. No, does Jesus say, this is my church? There were those who wanted to call it Elijah's church. Not so. Paul Peter's church. Not so. We're not going to put St. Paul Church on our building. Amen. Amen. Well, that's just a name. Well, why put Jesus' name on it? We're not going to put Mount anything on the outside. But that's just a name. Let me stay with the Bible. And I'm not mad. I'm not. Don't read my facial expressions wrong. I'm just. We talking about history. Is that all right? You still with me? Don't turn me off yet. Don't turn me off yet. It was called the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Now ye are the body of Christ. Hey, you know. Notice it. That's not talking about your physical body. It's not talking about Colossians 1, 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. So when the Bible says the body of Christ, what it's saying, you are the church. That's why we have it on our building out there. We want people that's riding by, we want people to see this building to know that it is dedicated to Christ and Christ alone. Amen, somebody. I said I was going to teach and not preach this. I get excited too. I get excited. It's called historical biblical names. It's called the Church of God. And of course, you know, God and Christ and the Holy Spirit are one.
Amen.
and he said it's called the Church of God in 1 Corinthians 1:2. In 1 Corinthians 11:22, it's called the Church of the Firstborn. Speaking of Christ, not the firstborn ever, not the firstborn that died, but he's the, it's the word for preeminence. It's, he has first place in all things.
Amen.
Firstborn, Hebrews 12:23. It's called the house of God, 1 Timothy 3:15. We're identifying the body, the church in the Bible history. It's called the church of the living God in 1 Timothy, same scripture, 3:15. It's called the kingdom. It's called the kingdom. Yeah. Listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Listen, this is why we need to get this one right. You don't need to mess this up. Because it says when the end comes, when time, the consummation of time, Jesus is going to come back. Just like he left, the Bible says, on a cloud. In Acts 1:4 and following, you read it for yourself. Just as he left, they were saying, men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? They were looking up when Jesus left. He said, for in the same way, he's coming back again. And when he comes back, what he's going to do is he's going to hand over the kingdom to God. I don't know about you, but I want to be in that kingdom. Yes, Lord. I don't want the Lord to miss me on that one. No, it's called a kingdom. It's called the kingdom of God. In Acts 8:4, Mark 9:1. These are not all the passages. I put a few because if I put too many up there, you wouldn't read them. It's called the kingdom of his dear son. Notice the consistency. Every time the Bible identifies the church in history, the kingdom of his dear son. That's not Peter. That's not Matthew. That's none of those guys. It's called the churches of Christ. Now, in Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches. See, that means all the different kind of churches. I know some of you thinking that. See, that brother gets, right? They say the churches of Christ, that include all of them. Well, let me show you a little bit more history. Now, I included this list not to be slight anyone, not to speak bad of anyone. I just included this historical list. Now, this is surely not all, but it's some of the history of some of the churches that we have around today. It's some of the history of it. Doesn't include them all because there's so many different denominations. And this is the history that I got on some of the, for instance, the Baptist Church. It was started in London, England, by John Smyth. 1607. You had the Christian Science Church, was started in 1879 by Mary Baker Eddy. The Church of England, 1535, King Henry the Eighth. The Church of God, started by a group in Monroe County, Tennessee, the Greek Orthodox Church, the Holiness Church, the Jehovah's Witness. And some of you thought the Jehovah's Witness has been around for thousands of years. It hasn't been around thousands of years. Charles Russell, 1974. You had the Lutheran Church. And I stand to be corrected. So if some of you members, if you say, Brigade, that's the wrong year, just correct me. We can do it afterwards if you want to correct me. The Methodist Church in 1729. John Wesley, the Mormon Church, 1830. Joseph Smith, the Presbyterian Church. John Calvin in 1535. The Roman Catholic. You know, there are more Roman Catholics probably than any other faith, 606. Now, that's why I went over in the beginning the year that the church in the Bible was established. Because I want you to make sure you understand the year. But more than that, you need to understand the doctrine.
Amen.
Of the church. Because we could start a church today if it's founded on the right doctrine. Seventh-day Adventists in 1846. I mention these because, see, since we study in the history of the church in the Bible and we see all what the church was identified, the name that it was identified, and then we got to Romans 16, it says the churches of Christ salute you, and you say, well, that included all of them. It couldn't have included those that I just named. Why? Because they were not around. I mean, just truth. I mean, just let's just speak truth. As many, and I'm not talking about sincerity. I'm not talking about goodness. I'm not talking about good people. I'm just talking about plain Bible facts. And so you say, well, there were no Baptists. That was John the Baptist, but he was a baptizer. And his message was, I'm not the one. One greater than me. That's what his message was. Will come. And so I'm just giving you the history of the Bible. And I just believe, this is me. I don't try to twist anybody on, tell people what to do. But I believe some folk want to know the truth. And more than that, I believe some people will obey the truth. And I know sometimes we caught up in family. We caught up in what others are doing. I've been doing this for this long. And this is what the Bible says. Let me hasten. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And believe me, you harping on the name. I know that it's more than a name. But you got to read the Bible. Listen to the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 and 2. Paul said this, be imitators of me, as I also am of Christ. Now this is the word of God. He writing to the New Testament, writing to many of the churches. He says, now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly. And so I, as a preacher, I'm not going to make an apology because I'm teaching the truth. I don't apologize for that. I don't try to ridicule anybody, but I'm going to tell you if this is what the Bible, he says, and hold firmly to the tradition. He uses the word traditions, but it's not in the sense that we think of traditions as something. It's a word that actually means that which was delivered to you. He says, you hold firmly just as I delivered them to, he said, just as I delivered them to you. Yeah, and so that's why we want to get this thing right. Lord knows that I don't want to send nobody. I don't want to teach what's wrong. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, 1 Corinthians 4, 17, for this reason, I've sent you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ. Notice this, just as I teach everywhere. In every church. Amen. What are you saying, Paul? Paul's saying this. He says, listen, Timothy, I commend you. You're a young preacher in the word of God. You teaching the word. And I want you to teach just like I gave it to you. As I in Christ is, and I want you to teach it. He says, I'm teaching this to every church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the brothers come down here just a little bit. He says, for I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. The same night in which Jesus betrayed, he took bread. And when he broke it, he gave it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is shed for you. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. That's what he told the church at Corinth. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7, the Bible says, up on the... That's why I notice church of Christ, y'all take the Lord's Supper every first day. Y'all do it every first. Yes, if does every week have a first day? Amen. That's why we take it every first day. That's why we do it. We do it because that's the example. That's the tradition. That's what was delivered to them. And Paul told Timothy, you deliver it just like it was delivered to you. Do it like this. And that's why we do it. The only reason why. Some people say it's too common. Excuse me. Just a second. You say it's too common? This ain't too common. You know what this is, don't you? This the money. I tell you what, you find a preacher and say, it makes it common to do it every week. Well, stop doing this every week. Amen. Amen. You mean, wait a minute. You mean this is more important than the death, burial, and resurrection of? I don't mean to be. I don't have time to teach all the history. Let me give you a little bit more before I sit down. Paul, when he wrote to the Colossians in Colossians 3:17, he says, whatever you do. Now, this is not. He says, whatever you do in word, what you're speaking, what you're teaching. That's why teachers need to be careful. Don't be philosophizing when you're in Bible class. Amen. Stay with the book. Stay with the group. And when you get on your opinion, your something that's your pet peeve or your opinion, you make sure you say to the order, now this is my opinion. Amen. So nobody don't get it mixed up. Yes. Whatever we do in word or in deed. I don't have time then to go into the history. I don't have time to go into the organization of the church in the Bible. The organization of church. If you want to see the organization of church, I'll give you some homework. Go to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. And it tells you who the leaders are in the congregation. It tells us all of our role. Just read that verse, Philippians 1 and verse number 1. I believe that's it. But it says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's by the authority of Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And so we are careful when we. Our procedures, as much as we have an example of the way they did it, we want to try to do it the way that they did it. Members of the Lord's church, members of the church in the Bible, members of the church were called saints. Amen. Colossians 1:2, to the saints and faithful brethren in the church in Christ. They were called disciples in Acts 13:52, and the disciples were continually filled with joy. In Romans 16:1, I commend you. Sisters, so that's appropriate. Sisters, can I say this kindly? Religious titles were rejected by Jesus. Oh, Brigitte, that's no big deal. Matthew 23, verse 8. Matthew 23, verse 8. This is Jesus talking. If it's red, the color red in your Bible, in most Bibles. But do not be called rabbi. Can you understand do not be called? Is that hard to understand? Jesus said, don't call it. Rabbi was the master teacher, and it's the title, and Jesus talking about, he said, look, don't you and the Lord, don't lift yourself. Don't do that. Notice this. Now, he's not talking to the people that's calling the person rabbi. He's talking to the man who would be called. He said, Garrett, don't allow people to call you rabbi. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Listen to what he said. He says, for one is your teacher. And you are all. I didn't read all of this text. He says, you are all, it's a generic term, brothers or sisters. We all, listen, I know better than you. You know better. You don't, that nowhere in that. Let me calm down. Listen, what are you saying? There are no reverends in the Bible. I know that may not be popular. And there are no reverends. The Bible says holy and reverend is his name. It's talking about God's name. That's what the scripture says. There are no, and this is for the Church of Christ, there are no doctors in the Bible. Amen. There's no title. And you can just see Jesus just turning over. What are my people doing? Because see, when we do this, we put ourselves on we actually lift ourselves over the. There are no cardinals. There's no cardinals in the Bible. When you're talking about Bible history, there are no cardinals. And don't even start. Some of these men calling themselves all this, and they're just as flawed as they could be. They need to be humble, don't they? Amen. That's why I try to stay humble. Don't call me. You listen, I'm just brother. I'm not offended when somebody calls me Gary. I'm not somebody. No, Boogie. No, they need to call you brother. I mean, that's fine. I'm Brother Gary if you want. That's fine. But listen, the Bible, you read Paul, Timothy, Peter, James, John. When the Bible lists all apostles, it don't say Reverend Dr. Cardinal. And because there are no archbishops. See, arch is the chief bishop. There are no popes in the Bible. And I just see there are. Let me add one more. This. Y'all ought to quit. Listen, there are no first ladies in the Bible. In the church. Now, some of our Church of Christ churches need to hear that, don't they? So where's Sister KB? She gone. Oh, she had to. Okay, she had. Sister KB, my wife. So those of you who don't know. Is Sister KB. Amen. Amen. Sister Karen, if you want to call her Karen. Or Sister Smith. Or if you just want to call her K, that she is KB. Or you want to call KB, Karen. But Sister Karen is not the first lady. Amen. And say, no, we need to honor, we need to respect. You know, we respect each other. There's no greater blessing for me to be called your brother in Christ or your sister. That's enough respect. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. In Acts 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians. We Christians. Amen. In the Bible, see that? What faith are you? I'm Baptist. I'm Methodist. I'm Lutheran. I'm a Christian, but I'm. No, we're Christians. Nothing more. Nothing less. Nothing else. We just Christian. I told some of you, my wife, the first time I called on the phone, this is when we were dating, and she wasn't in the Church of Christ. She started asking, she said, what church you go to? I said, Fifth Ward Church of Christ. She said, oh, I think I know somebody at that church. She said, okay, so what faith is that? I said, well, I'm just a Christian. She said, no, I mean, what faith is it? I say, she said, I mean, you Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian? I say, I'm none of those. I'm just a Christian. She said, okay. I need to stop. But let me say this. Let me say, can I ask you a question? Do you know your church history? And I ask the question because if you don't know it, you need to know it. And this is not all of it. The brother DeCour read in you here, and I'm gonna end with this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one spirit we were all, notice that some passages in the Bible, you can't misinterpret it. You can't miss this. We were all baptized into one body. We just told you in Colossians 1:18, the body is it. So what the Bible said, we are all baptized into one church. Amen. God wants the whole world to be in his body. I understand that. He wants us to be in his body, whether Jews. Now, notice this. Somebody said, I'm already saved. The Jews thought they were saved. They were some of the most religious. Matter of fact, you read the conversion stories in the book of Acts. In Acts, all through Acts, They're all the many of them were already believers, they thought. Lydia and her household. Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 was a devout man and he gave his money, but he was not saved. Why? Because he had not obeyed. The gospel is one gospel. Even those who are baptized unto John's baptism, the baptism of repentance, they had to be baptized into Christ. So it's not about what you've been, it's about what you want to become. It says, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's part of our church history. And so I say that in the 1940s, this church was established on the foundation of the apostles. Amen. As the apostles got it from Jesus. That's why the name was placed on our building as the Church of Christ, because it was one of the identifying marks of the church of history in the Bible. And so we would dare not put any other name, though it's just a name. We dare not put any other name. I will say this, just putting a name on a building don't mean it's the Church of Christ also. And we're this coming Friday, is that right? This coming Friday, we're having 7 home fellowships all across the city, praise the Lord. And we're doing it because we'll try to fellowship one of each other. We can't be with each other all the time. We're going to eat together. And we've gotten together with seven of the teachers that's going to be giving the sharing the word. The word is going to be about 30 minutes. So if you invite somebody to come, it'll be a pleasant atmosphere for them to come. We've gotten together, and we're almost going to do the same lesson. It's entitled The Will of God. Yes. Will of God. Because, and we're doing it for two reasons. We're doing it because we want others to obey the gospel. Amen. We want to add people to the body of Christ through the word of God. And we want to be able to share a simple message that all of us can share with somebody that's lost. And so we're gonna hand out and give a handout. You'll have it. You'll have the lesson. We're gonna do that Friday night, and then on Saturday morning. I don't know if it's in the bulletin or not. We're having a personal evangelism workshop. Brother Truett A. Dare, one of the premier gospel preachers. He's the president of Sunset Bible Institute. He's an evangelistic gentleman who's been evangelizing, baptizing people literally all over the world. He's doing a workshop here, which everybody is invited. It's not just for leaders. It's not just for deacons. It's not just for Bible school teachers. We're going to have breakfast from 8 to 9, and we want you to come out. Amen. Come out from 9 until about 11. He's going to be here with us, and he's going to be preaching on this coming Sunday. Amen. But if you're here today, and you're not a member of the body of Christ, what a wonderful time to come. The same gospel that Peter and the apostles preached on the day of Pentecost is the gospel that we preach today. Just like they heard, you have to hear that Jesus loves us. God loves us. He loves us so much. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And we're not going to skip that part. Somebody said, I know that. Well, you need to know it and know it. Amen. Because Jesus died for all of our sins. Amen. Now, you can't just say you believe. Amen. You have to do more than just say you believe. The Bible tells us in Luke 13:3-5, I tell your neighbor, except you repent, or unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. That's why Jesus came, is for our sin, to die for our sin. And so your mind about sin is, look, I can't keep living this kind of life. I want to do what's right. I want to obey God's commandment. I haven't made it there yet. It doesn't mean that you'll be perfect, but you don't want to run down that road anymore. Listen, it's actually a little bit different message than many denominations teach, because a lot of denominations don't even teach about sin. But you got to do something with those sins. Now, you can't get baptized and go back to being a stone crook. Amen, somebody. If you're a hustler, and I mean a hustler in the wrong way, Don't say, Brother Gary, that's a good message. I'm going to get baptized, but I'm going to still be hustling. That's not repentance. That's not changing your mind about that way of life. So you do that before you're baptized. That's why Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 30, repent and be baptized. You must confess with your mouth what your heart believes. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. That's a beautiful passage. That's Jesus talking. Jesus said, if you with your mouth acknowledge that I am the Savior, I'm the Son of God, I with my mouth, I'm going to acknowledge when you get to stand before my Father, I'm going to say, Daddy, that's one of ours. I know Gary Dwayne Smith. And I told you, I said, Gary Dwayne Smith, you got to get it right. You know, there are a lot of Gary Smiths in the world. But that's Gary Dwayne Smith, born December 14, 1959. Social Security number 46. I better not get that. some of y'all, I know the devil might be in here.
Amen. Amen.
And you must, and notice how many times we've already read about baptism. I don't know why people fight baptism. Why? That, some people will teach, you don't have to be baptized right now. You can wait till fifth Sunday, or we'll do it a little when it's a more convenient time. On the day of Pentecost, they baptized them the same day. Don't put this off. You don't know what's going to happen when you leave out of here. Yes. If you want to be baptized, we'll baptize you today. And then God will add you. He will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so when the end comes, when Jesus comes back and he hands the kingdom to the Father, your name, yes. And can I say this? Can I say this? Listen, and if you do it any other way, if you say, well, I'm going to take my chance, that's just what you're doing. But if you want to get it right, if you want to do it the Bible's way, come. If you want to get something right in your life, you're a Christian, you want the church for us to pray for you, we'll pray for you. Somebody come to Jesus even as we stand today.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you.
Come to Jesus
and
today.
And me, and let us haste, oh haste, to its spring. And 'tis the fountain of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink.
He is the
will you come,
will you come
to the fountain free, and will you come?
The fountain.